another episode of All Mugged. I'm Kristen.
I'm Aya.
And I'm sitting on the opposite side that I'm
I don't like that. I didn't even think of that. Oh, this is so awkward. Oh, jeez.
It's so weird.
So
after a year, we've decided to swap places.
I didn't even realise that until you said it. No, I hate it. Okay, we're going to have to keep going.
It's fine.
The next episode we'll swap. Yeah, so we're in a new space. We're in my unit and...
Brand new.
We're still, if you're visually watching, it's going to... I don't know, it's probably no one cares, to be honest. It's just us and we care. Hopefully the sound quality is fine because it's a different kind of space and there are tiles and...
We'll be fine.
Yeah, get over it, people.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what are we watching? What are we reviewing?
Reviewing. We're a little late to the St. Patrick's Day party.
Oh, well.
But Irish Wish, which for a girl with a semi-lisp is very hard to say.
Oh, no.
Was released on St. Patrick's Day on Netflix, and we decided, let's give it a go.
Yes.
So we did.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say something shocking here.
What?
I really liked the
movie. You really liked it?
I liked it. I would watch it again, TBH.
Okay.
I can't tell you why, though. Is it because there were British men in it?
Probably.
if anyone knows me, that's like my weak spot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, I went for a different tactic watching this movie. I was like, I will watch it once just to watch it. I won't take any notes. I'll just watch it. And as I liked it when I first watched it. And then the second time I watched it to take notes, I was like, do I like this movie?
Oh my gosh. Interesting. Do you know, I don't think we've ever like really differed.
Yeah.
On our opinions.
I know.
So this is the first. Oh, okay. So it's a battle of.
It's a like, battle of.
And you know what? I consider myself the more negative, judgmental person. So I think this is really saying a lot.
It's because I'm sitting on this side.
Oh, yeah. And we're all, maybe we made a wish and we're living in like some alternate universe.
Before we digress any further, what's this movie about?
Yeah, I had to I forgot about the IMDb bit, so I've just quickly googled it while you were talking about your list. So if I'm sorry I didn't react to that, I was like, ah!
Wow, we've known each other a long time, you've heard it for years.
okay, so Irish Wish with Lindsay Lohan. When the love of... I'm just going to bring my laptop up here. When the love of Maddie's life gets engaged to her best friend, she puts her feelings aside to be a bridesmaid at their wedding in Ireland. That literally tells you nothing about the movie. That is absolute, sorry, bullshit. Okay, so basically, Maddie is an editor and works with this Irish author named Paul. And she's secretly in love with him. And she wants to tell him how she feels, but she doesn't. He meets her friend and then cut to a few months later, Paul and the friend, what's her name?
Oh, someone. Did I write it down? Emma,
are getting married in Ireland. So they all go to Ireland for the wedding. Maddie meets a witch under a tree. Sorry,
so that's St. Bridget.
St. Bridget, yeah, not a witch. I have notes on that, it's fine. And she makes a wish saying she wishes she was marrying Paul. Cut to waking up in the morning?
Yes.
And she is marrying Paul, and it's basically, she's like in an alternate universe where, yeah, she's going to marry Paul. I forgot to mention that she did meet a photographer prior to the witch, James, British, very handsome. It's not important. It is important. So he's still in this alternate universe, except they've never met before, and he ends up being the photographer for their wedding, because apparently they didn't plan a photographer until 3 days, or did the photographer
pull out?
Anyway, they end up, like, secretly, like, low-key falling in love without telling each other or anyone. And she basically wishes that she never made the wish. Life goes back to normal.
Yeah.
And everyone ends up with who they're meant to be. It's an important lesson.
Yes.
A very important lesson.
They wrote the lesson down.
Yeah.
Because it says it out loud.
Yeah. It's not really subtle. So that's basically the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That IMDb,
that doesn't give anything away. Maybe they didn't want anyone to know. But the trailer was pretty obvious.
I don't know. Like, yeah, you watch the trailer, it tells you everything in the trailer. Anyway.
the movie opens with a definition of wish, and I had never, I don't think I've ever heard the, like, formal definition of what a wish is, because I, it killed me.
I did not like that part, I was like, this is not necessary.
Wish, to want something that you cannot, or probably, want something that you cannot have, or probably will not happen.
is that truly, did you look that up?
I didn't.
If that's truly the definition of a wish, what a negative Nancy definition. That's terrible.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, wishes aren't actually that fun.
No. Wishes have such like a, maybe that's why manifesting is such a,
maybe,
a big instead thing, of because wishing. It's more positive rather than wishing.
Yeah. So now the Disney Cruise Line is now Disney Manifest. Instead of Disney Wish.
I don't know, I feel like there's been some manifest documentaries that have not been good.
Jane Seymour is in this movie.
Yes.
She plays Lindsay's mum.
Yes.
And there is no reason for her to be there. Like, honestly, you could have the movie without her.
She contributed nothing to the story.
No.
Because
she doesn't get to the wedding on time.
She doesn't get to the wedding.
Lindsay calls her occasionally, but then they have, like, Maddie calls her mum occasionally, but even on the phone, she's like, Mum, so glad I can talk to you, but also you're giving me too much information in this phone call.
Yeah.
But my favourite part is of Jane Seymour's is at the beginning of the... Is Jane Seymour, right?
Yeah, it's Jane Seymour.
I'm like, if I listen to Six the Musical too many times. it's at the very beginning of the movie. She's like, have you told Paul how you're feeling yet? And Maddie's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I just like... Please don't, like, I hope you haven't told anybody that I have feelings for Paul Kennedy, the author. And the mum goes, trust me, nobody in Des Moines cares. And I'm like,
girl,
snap, mum.
Yeah, that's all you're here for, is to be like, get over yourself, Maddie.
Nobody cares that my daughter has a crush on Paul Kennedy. Like, it's not that... Like, if you're in a relationship, maybe different story.
Yeah.
Well, we first see Maddie. She gets out of a cab. She opens the door. She's looking across the road at this beautiful book premiere.
I thought it was a movie premiere, to be honest. Because, like, is that what happens at book premieres?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen anything like that before.
It was very much a premiere.
Yes. With a piddly red carpet.
She looks across the street and has closed her scarf. That doesn't match her outfit, into the cab door, and the cab drives off, taking the scarf with it. And she's like, oh, well, walks across the road. There's a moment where she meets Paul, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, she gets inside and her friends are there. And her friend Emma, who eventually gets with Paul, is like, oh, where's the scarf I lent you? Not at any point has Maddie been like, I'm so sorry, I lost your scarf. You will never believe I lost it. Not that, and she didn't even go after it. The cab just drove off and she's like, oh, well. I was like, nitpicky, but I was just like.
You gotta.
I think that was the thing, is like, Maddie's character as a whole, from the very beginning, is this like, dreamy, romantic person, which you're meant to kind of like, right? But she's so incredibly self-centered.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that she's only interested, like, she couldn't even be, it's not really a spoiler, we've all watched it, she couldn't even really be happy for her friends.
No.
At all.
She never tells
her
friends.
It's your own damn fault.
Yeah, because she never tells her friends that she has a crush on Paul. Not at any moment does she tell her friends that she has a crush on Paul.
So that, I found that really weird. Like, if you're supposedly best friends with these people, I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't tell friends. I don't know. Have I told every friend about my crushes? Probably not.
I was working very closely with someone, in that it was just the two of us the whole time, I'd probably be like, mate.
Yeah.
It is so hard to work. Because all I can think about is how much I'm in love with them.
Yeah.
Like, I probably would have mentioned it.
Yeah.
But the friends themselves didn't seem to have a lot of chemistry.
I don't know if anyone had a lot of chemistry in this movie except the two that end up, as in Lindsay and... The guy who played James.
Yeah.
They were like, they had the most chemistry.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes, I will get to them.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the friends didn't have a lot of chemistry. The guy playing Paul has been in a lot of other things, Outlander, Sanditon, like all of those kind of period dramas. So I think he came at it with a, like, I'm getting back into, like, real time. And it was just a bit over the top.
I could not stand him in this movie. Mm. He's got to be one of the worst characters I've seen. I don't know why I loved it so much. He's actually there all the time. I wrote so many times, his fashion was douche central. Yeah.
But, like, from the 90s. Like, a very, like, yeah. a mix of, like, plaids and pastels and...
He is a terrible person. Like, the fact that he takes credit for writing when he doesn't write. Yeah. He's so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what she saw in him.
But he's very similar to the character that was her boyfriend in Falling for Christmas.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Same tone.
Yes.
Same kind of fashion choices. Same career-minded focus.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe that's now the, like, Lindsay Lohan Netflix trope.
So... with, like, the whole career focus thing and talking about him being a douche, when they're at the book premiere, or whatever you want to call it, he's, first of all, he's sitting alone at the bar.
Yes.
Dude, having a moment. Having a moment. No one actually cares about you, mate. He says to her, I want to take our relationship to the next level. And she's like, oh my gosh, yes, I think that too. And then he's like, I think we should get ready to start writing the next book. That's where he's a douche, because you know what you're doing when you're using, like, wording like that. Why don't you say, I want to take our professional career to the next level.
Hey, do you want to start writing this book with me from the get-go?
Don't even say the next level stuff. Exactly. Hey, guess what? I'm ready to write the next book. Let's go.
I have a proposal for you.
Yeah, I want to propose to you that we write the next book together.
Look, the beginning... I have a lot of notes from the beginning of the movie and not a lot of notes from the middle.
Yeah, I think I'm similar.
And it's all in this book launch premiere moment because it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Sorry, I'm, like, redoing my hair as I'm talking about it. We have two meet cutes in this movie because really two couples that we need to focus on. So the first meet cute is between Paul and Emma, the friend. Sorry, I'm now, like, molting all over here. Paul and Emma meet because Paul is leaving the bar after proposing to Lindsay's character
to write a book.
And runs into Emma, who is making her way to the bathroom because somehow, and as someone who wears fake eyelashes quite a lot, somehow her fake eyelash has not only, like, removed itself from her eyelid, but it has flipped up and stuck itself to, like,
her eyelid.
the crease part of your eyelid.
It's not possible.
No, I just am like, what have you done in order to make this happen? Because all it honestly looked like is that she had, like, stuck her eyelash on her eyelid.
But also, haven't we just seen her and it was fine?
It was fine.
Like, what have you done in the last 10
minutes? Unless you, like, rubbed your eye and moved around. But also, no makeup smudges. Again, so nitpicky. We know what we are. Anyway, Paul walks into the corridor as Emma's like, oh, I'm never going to use these lashes again because I'm a beauty reviewer, ?
She does something in fashion, or maybe she works for a magazine or something.
And he's like, can I help you? And she's like, I mean, sure. So he reapplies her eyelash to perfection. And then they're in love. What I appreciated in this meet cute is that it was actually a meet cute, and we haven't had one of those in a really long time. Like, it's often aggressive or, like,
bumping into each other, being angry.
Yeah.
You did this to me, which is the next one.
Yeah. But this one, I was like, oh, as, like, random and weird as it is, cute, I guess.
Sorry, I'm absolutely wheezing at the... being able to apply it to perfection. That cracks me up. Because it's so true. He's like, darling, hold still. Let me put this lash on you. Boom. Yeah.
It takes me a good while to put on a fake eyelash. And I guess that I'm like, you try to use tweezers and put it in a very specific place. And he's just like, I know exactly where this goes. I've done this many
done
times
this
before.
So
you don't even need more glue. It will just stick right
Oh my God. I didn't think of the glue. Oh my gosh. It's so stupid.
Unless that they're magnetic.
Yeah, but even then, don't you need an applicator?
Yeah.
Whatever. Nitpicking.
So nitpicking. Okay, we know what we got. I really don't understand why, so Maddie sees this interaction and immediately wants to break it up because she can see the spark.
Yes.
And instead of just being like, hey, bestie, I just need you to know that I've had a crush on this guy for the last year of working with him. Do you mind not? She just says nothing.
Yeah.
They get married. They're getting married. They fly to Ireland, and the minute they're like, "We're in Ireland," I was like, "I want to be."
Oh, the scenery in this, like, combined with like the music. Oh, I've never been to Ireland. Lived in the UK.
Never
to Ireland. Should have.
I almost. I got food poisoning the night before I was meant to fly to Ireland.
Oh, damn.
But I want to be in Ireland so bad.
Yeah.
He wrote, yes to the travel shoes. Lizzie is in sneakers. And I am so glad. Is she in jeans and a blazer? Yes. And that's fine. If that's what you want to travel in, that's what you want to travel. I personally hate being on a plane in jeans. I'm so
absolutely
uncomfortable.
Terrible.
I'm so uncomfortable. But yes to the sneakers.
Yeah. And wasn't she wearing glasses as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Just like, finally, we're not in business attire to fly long distance. Then we get the meet cute between Maddie and James.
I know it's probably one of the more aggressive ones.
Mm.
I still thought it was cute because I was like, at least it's kind of realistic.
It probably would have happened.
It's like, oh, I'm no, that's my bag. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that's possible.
Yeah. So Maddie thinks that her bag is on the conveyor belt.
Yeah, the thing.
Thing. The luggage carousel. Whatever. It's Saturday morning. We're tired. She hasn't put any kind of like indicator on. There's no bag tag. There's no ribbon. There's no.
That's your own
damn
fault.
Thing.
That's your own fault.
James, this beautiful Englishman who we have probably seen, what you would have seen, Ed. What's his last name? Ed. I wrote it down. Spilliers. Was in the last season of You on Netflix. He plays the, like, friend. And that's all I'm going to say. Because I'm like, how do I say this without ruining the season?
I've not watched the show.
Oh, you've not watched the show at all?
No, I think because I was so traumatized by Penn Badgley in Gossip Girl and just that ending. I was like, mate, I can't. And just, like, really thinking about his character in that. I can't deal with you being another weirdo.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dan Humphries graduated high school, changed his identity, and was able to be who he really truly was this entire time.
He went, bye, Serena, I don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be the stalker self I want to be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now that you say that, damn. Anyway, that is probably the last thing we saw Ed in. He plays James. Beautiful British man, perfect jawline.
Stunning.
Just stunning.
Good accent.
He also has the same suitcase that Maddie's character has. They both pick it up from the carousel. I can't say that word.
Carousel. Yeah.
They're fighting over it like tug of war style. The bag bursts open.
That wouldn't happen.
That would, because zips.
Zips don't do
zips.
That.
And Maddie's like, see, this is my plaid skirt, and holds up, boxes, and he's like, interesting skirt, may I have my bag back please?
Yeah.
And so yeah, probably like other than the bag bursting open, very realistic.
Having said that, the chance of it being like a beautiful British man
in Ireland,
we
are closer
to
it potentially happening.
I'm thinking like Brisbane. Nah.
We'll just go sit in luggage claim of the Dublin airport and just see what happens.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I now can't picture anything else. So Maddie essentially has lost her baggage. Her luggage. goes to security, I guess, and is like, this Paul comes up as she's waiting to be like, sup, find my bag. And he's like, thank you so much for introducing, like, bringing Emma into my life. She
That's
is just
nice, I guess.
The best thing ever. I am so happy, which, yes, she
yeah.
is, like, devastated by it, but
yeah.
she's not actually listening to what's being said. Like,
yeah.
he'd, like, obviously, they got engaged within something, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't been together long.
My thing is, like, she's annoyed.
Mm.
Dude, like, if he wanted to be with you,
he
would have been with you. If you really wanted to be with him, you would have said something.
Yeah.
You were working together a lot. Something would have happened. The fact that this happened so quickly and
yeah.
there was such a strong connection, it was never meant to be.
No. And I know that it's hard in a professional setting, especially, I guess, in, like, a author-editor relationship, too.
Yeah.
Where you're, like, working so closely. And, again, what we are asking of essentially a Hallmark movie is dramatic realism.
Yeah.
And that is okay. What I don't love is that these girls, the three girls that are in this movie, are meant to have been friends from childhood. Like, their entire lives, they have been best friends.
Wouldn't have gotten that from this movie.
But also, just, like, if you have been best friends your entire life and you cannot be happy for your friend getting married... You're not a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think once that happened, once the airport thing happened and she was still being... Like, she still made the wish. I was like, oh, you aren't thinking of anyone but yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the second time I watched it... The first time I watched it, really enjoyed it. But I think
yeah.
once the second time I
yeah,
watched it, I was
true.
Actually, like, looking at the plot. I was like, oh, that's so selfish.
Yeah, surely you would have had, like, a realization, like, on the plane at least.
Yeah.
You know, going there and be like, oh, okay, this is real. I probably should really get over it.
Yeah, I had my chance.
Yeah.
I had my chance. I no longer have my chance. There's somebody else out there for me. Ali, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. My next note is... James is perfect. I don't want to hear anything to the contrary.
Oh, yeah, no. He's good. He's great. He's nice. You know, a bit standoffish, but, like, someone tried to take your bag, sure. But, like, he's not... He's just, you know, trying to live his life. And
yeah.
Maddie's there.
Yeah. You can be a bit annoyed sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine.
That's fine. And she was a bit annoyed too, so, you know,
yeah.
it was, you know, equal. Are we at the house yet?
We're not at the house yet.
Are we on the
bus? We're about to get on the bus.
Oh, the damn bus.
So, Maddie, apparently Emma has a lot of suitcases, so there isn't a lot of room in the car. And so Maddie is like, it's okay, I'll get a taxi, I'll take an Uber. And Paul's like, are you sure? And she's like, yep, totally fine. Gets outside and maybe doesn't have reception because she can't get an Uber. There are no taxis in the taxi rank. And a bus pulls up and she's like, are you going here? Can you drop me here? And he's like, yeah, come on.
She doesn't pay.
Jump on the bus. No. It's Ireland. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
apparently.
Sorry, minor... Again, whatever.
Minor detail. So she jumps on the bus. James jumps on the bus with her and is like, ugh, here we go. And she's like, ugh, here we go. Because... Why wouldn't we be?
Yeah.
She is reading Paul Kennedy. She's got Paul Kennedy's
yes.
book in
yes.
her bag because why wouldn't you carry around the novel that you edited
yeah.
everywhere you go?
Yeah, I found that weird. She always had it out.
And he, James is like, oh, you, Paul, you enjoy Paul Kennedy's writing? That's interesting. And she's like, Paul Kennedy's written so many books, and James is, like, they're everywhere. They have to be good. If there's so many of them, they have to be good.
Mm.
And James says, they sell a lot of fish and chips in the UK, doesn't mean they're all good.
I mean, it's a fair point. I'm trying to think of, like, other novelists. I feel like Colleen Hoover.
I was about to say Colleen Hoover. It has, like, it's a hit and miss, right? Or even, like, Leanne Moriarty, like, everyone, not every single book from every single author is good.
But also, it's so subjective.
Yes.
James does not have to like it. I mean, I understand why she would be annoyed, because technically it was
her
book.
Writing. And he hasn't read this one. And he has said that. He's like, I didn't read it because I don't like the others. The way that he was talking, though, I expected there to be some, like, childhood beef. Like, they've gone to boarding school together and, like...
No, yeah.
But they do not know each other. There is no connection between Paul and James whatsoever until he decides to photograph the alternate universe wedding. And so it was just a bit weird in that context. Like, I guess watching so many of these movies, there is usually a reason for tension. And that reason is usually past. So for James to just be so adamantly like, I do not like Paul Kennedy, I do not like his writing, it felt like there needed to be some kind of familiarity in there.
Yeah.
But it was literally just, and that's fine. There are plenty of authors that I'm like, I don't like their writing and I've never met them. But it was just in the wording of his dialogue that I was like, oh, I feel like we're going to eventually get to a point where he knows the family. But it never got there.
Yeah, I think they could have just, like, changed it a bit and he'd just be like, oh, I just don't really like it.
Yeah.
And, like, not have, like, this kind of, like, I don't know, almost, like, hatred. Yeah.
Yeah, it was this, like, really, really strange person. Like, every book of Paul Kennedy's was, like, a personal attack to James. Mm. But, oh, well. Paul has a brother. I don't know if we ever got his name.
No idea.
But immediately the third friend in this trio, she clocks him, she makes eye contact, she's in love. For the rest of the movie, she wants to get with the brother.
Wait, who?
The other girl.
Oh, yeah, so at the house and then one of the other friend. Yes, yes.
Yeah, then I'm just like, okay, I get it. Irish accents would probably be the same. I'd be like, I'm in love. But I wouldn't be actively pursuing the only other single man on the property.
Yeah. Like, is this really what you want? Or, like, what are we doing?
Are you just desperate?
And, oh, I hate saying that. But is she?
Is she? We can be desperate.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Anyone can be desperate.
Anyone can be desperate. But the landscape of this, the house itself.
The house is like some, like, Saltburn shit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Beautiful. The, like, every window's view.
But not Saltburn, obviously. Sorry, just really to stress
everyone
that.
Everyone keeps their clothes on.
Yes.
And all songs are from
no
2024.
Yeah.
No Sophie Ellis Baxter.
Yeah, yeah.
Every, like, pan of a view is stunning.
Yeah.
I love Ireland.
Yeah. And so, here's the thing. He's come from money.
He's come from, like, a
so
lot of money.
Could you say his success...
Yes.
As a... Yeah.
He is a nepo baby.
He's, like, basically a nepo baby. He's, like, you probably wouldn't have been successful if you didn't have the money.
No. Absolutely not. I think that's the thing, is that... And it eventually comes out that nobody else in the publishing... what are they called? Publishing house that he is working out of wanted to be editor on his book. Maddie was like, I'll do it. So he had been turned down by other people within the publishing house to be editor. So I think potentially the only reason this book is out is because of Maddie.
But also then how did his other books get out? Like, I think this is the first one she edits. So who was previously editing the book and how did he have a career?
I don't know.
So, something's happened there.
Money.
Well, yes, money's happened there. Yeah, totally.
The house. His mum is like, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe her.
Like, Maddie walks in late, obviously, because she's caught the bus.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you're finally here, you've made it. Did they find your luggage? She's like, no. And the mum's like, oh, that's such a shame. And Maddie's
right.
It's okay. And she's like, no, I don't care about your stuff. I care about the bridesmaid's dress because otherwise you're going to look out of place.
And you know what? Good riddance to that bridesmaid's dress. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just a slip with a bolero.
Oh, disgusting.
Look. And she makes comments like that kind of throughout the whole movie.
She does.
She's very... authoritative, I guess, is the nicest way to put that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. She, it's basically as if it's like her wedding.
Yes. And the two weddings are quite different. So, like, once we get into the alternate universe, the mother is much more involved with every single decision that's been made than it seems that she is when it's the wedding of Emma and Paul. Like, Lindsay is forced to wear a certain dress. She's forced to have a certain type of wedding.
And I think that's what they show in the alternate universe, is that Emma is clearly destined to be with Paul because, first of all, they're both British. Mm-hmm. Or England. Yeah. British? From
it depends what part of Ireland to we're in, which we never really find out.
They're both from that area, that particular part of the world. And she, in the alternate universe, she's very much like, oh, I love that dress, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and says, like, a lot of things and just kind of understands the family. Maddie's very different.
Yes.
So you can kind of understand why the mother is a bit more hands-on, because she's like, oh, probably, she's probably like, oh, an American.
That has no taste.
Emma is, you know, she likes bike rides and vintage lawn-vol wedding dresses and boleros, so... It's all good.
It's all good. So we get to... Okay. They go on an outing.
Yes.
They want to go boat. They don't picnic. They get in some boats that apparently are only fit for two people.
Pink and brand new. Yeah.
They're only two person per boat kind of deals. And there's a group of five of them. So naturally... Emma and Paul are in one because they are a couple. Brother and other friend must be in the other boat because
she wants to be a couple. She wants to be with him, yeah.
And so Lizzie's like, it's fine. I will just go for a walk.
And such a Debbie Downer.
Emma's like, can you get a photo of us first? So she's like, Maddie takes a selfie of, like, the five of them, and then Emma's like, no, just of me and Paul, please.
I found that really weird, because, like, I wouldn't have interpreted that as selfie time, let's get us all in. I would have interpreted that as, oh, you and Paul want a photo, yeah. Great.
But also, all of your friends have flown to Ireland to be at your wedding. Wouldn't you want, but anyway.
Yeah.
Lindsay finds a rock to sit on.
Under a tree.
A really beautiful tree.
Very fake CGI tree.
She, in an exasperated way, is like, I wish I was marrying Paul. Next minute, we meet St. Bridget.
Yes, in a mod 60s outfit.
Which, like, for me is it's like a very leprechaun-y vibe to St. Bridget.
Yes, oh, very much. It also, it reminds me of the Princess Switch, how they have, like, that kind of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very much, and, like, so the idea of St. Bridget is that she grants the wishes of those who sit in the seat. Like, what Lindsay has sat... The rock that she sat on is, like, the wishing seat. But she doesn't necessarily grant the wish that you want. She grants the wish that you need, is kind of, like, the premise of this whole thing. So, it started getting a little bit more zesty from this point onwards. I think because St. Bridget comes in and she's like, your wish is granted, and Maddie's like, that's it, there's no, like, magic involved, and she's like, what do you want, like, a wind? And she's like, yeah, kind of. So St. Bridget's like, fine then, and just, like, creates, like, a tornado experience.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. And then we wake up,
and she's like, I think she thinks it was a dream.
Yes.
And then she goes into the shower and she sees Paul naked in the shower. Yeah. And she's confused.
She's confused.
She doesn't realize.
And it's immediately like, I can't be looking. But, like, everything that he's giving her indicates that this is okay. So, like, one, the fact that you've made a wish. Two, the fact that you have never in any capacity seen this man naked.
Yeah.
And he's fine with it.
And
it's
he's
like
in your bathroom.
Yeah. It's like, what? Anyway.
And even when Emma asks, like, oh, where's Paul? First of all, why are you asking for Paul anyway?
Because they're having an affair.
Are they at that point, though?
I think so.
Okay. Well, yeah. And he walks out of the room and there's no, like, what are you doing in there? Like, girl, like, put two and two together.
You made a wish.
Look at your hand. You've got a ring there.
That's the thing. So she has this giant engagement on this hand, giant engagement ring that's like this huge emerald, and not at any point does she notice that it's on her finger.
Yeah. And then the terrible framed photo of her and Paul, it's clearly photoshopped.
I do like the maroon outfit that she was in to go to breakfast.
I didn't understand why she was wearing it.
Well, yes. In this new reality, she has a new personality.
Yes.
Fashion-wise.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was the alternate universe or if it was the fact that Paul was probably like, oh, you're going to like an aristocratic home, you know, sharpen up. I don't know.
What happened is, what it felt like is that Emma and Maddie swapped wardrobes.
True.
I like all of the outfits she wore, I really liked, but it wasn't anything that she had worn prior to Wish. But Emma had worn a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was at this point that I just like, she gets down to breakfast and I just wrote like, what is it that she even likes about Paul?
Yeah.
I don't understand what his appeal is to her.
I wrote Paul. Oh, that's a bit later on. I'm still right. Paul remains terrible. Like he doesn't have a nice personality. They literally have zero chemistry.
Yeah.
Even though I think at this point she realizes that the wish has come true, so she's not even like, oh yay, I get to like touch him and like be like, she doesn't want to kiss him.
No.
She's like, why are you coming near me? Like. But also he's a bit cringe and creepy.
He is a bit cringe and creepy. There is at no point where I'm like, oh, take me now. Like, and I get that when you work with someone and you see a different side of them, or even just any, like, you don't even have to work with them, just spending time with someone that you see a lot of different parts of who they are as a person, that can become quite endearing. Mm. But at no point do we see anything other than douchebag Paul. So
no, totally.
It is kind of hard to kind of swallow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to see how to this
note? Oh, sorry. Because I stopped writing notes for a while. Because I was just watching the movie. What did I say? I said, oh yeah, we're backtracking a little bit. I said, I don't know why I find the whole magic wish thing cringe. It is a bit cringe, but I guess it makes sense. Also, I wish it was a real thing because I don't even remember writing this. Because I would sit on a rock and wish to marry Harry Styles.
Why did I write that? Send us what you would wish for.
Apparently, I
Harry Styles.
Do you know what? If I woke up and Harry Styles was in the next bed, I'd be like, bravo.
Yes,
let's
go. Thank you,
Saint
Bridget.
Let's go.
Oh, hilarious. Sorry, I just saw it and giggled. So they're like, okay. So now we're planning the wedding of
Maddie
to Paul. Mm. And it doesn't seem like it's a lot of, like, it's like a 2, maybe 3 days away.
Yes.
The wedding dress still needs to be fitted.
The mum's not there.
Mum is flying in the day of the wedding.
Crazy. What? That's so stupid. Even, I think she's a teacher.
Yeah.
Take the time off.
Yeah.
Girl.
I don't know. Principal, maybe?
Yeah.
So then she's in the wedding dress. She's in the store where she's getting all the, what's it called?
Alterations
done. And through the window she sees St. Bridget and she's like,
wait.
So she chases St. Bridget to the point where she runs all the way onto the street and falls into James's car.
Obviously,
because it's a convertible.
Would you consider this like a third meet-cute?
I guess because he doesn't know her.
Yeah, but she knows him.
And it's kind of cuter than the first time they meet.
Yeah.
She sees him, obviously knows a lot about him. He's a little bit weird about it because he hasn't met her in this universe.
No.
Everyone follows her and the mum's like, oh, you found a photographer.
Yes.
And Lindsay's like, or Maddie's like, yes, I have. He's a nature photographer though. And he's like, I could do a wedding for the right price.
Mm-hmm.
So then they start spending some time together because they want to find locations for their, like, couple photos.
Well, yeah, is it that Paul organized something through his publicist that they have photos after the wedding?
Yeah.
Is that what they're that's what they're finding? Is like the more, like, I don't know what it's for, like
the,
a magazine,
like the,
spread,
yeah,
or something.
The PR for all of the people who need it.
Yeah.
But Paul doesn't want to go out because Maddie in the middle of the night has beaten him up because she's not used to having him in her bed.
Yes.
He goes to, like, spoon her and she whacks him in the face.
And the
sore part.
And the downstairs area.
The part that means that he then, for the rest of the movie, is a sulky baby.
Yeah.
So he doesn't go out because he has a bruise on his eye and he needs it to go down before the wedding, because what about all the photos?
Yeah.
So Emma is looking after Paul.
Oh, that she is.
And that, like, that whole lot of dialogue was super cringe too. She was like, no, keep me company. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, gross, get out of here.
So this is the thing, is that, okay, at least Maddie was just, like, sulky behind closed doors and not, like, actively flirting with Emma's fiancé, Paul.
Yes. Emma is a terrible
friend. We learned that Emma is a terrible friend because in this alternate universe, she's, like, yeah, actively, whether it's physically cheating, I don't know, definitely emotionally cheating, you know. So when you put those, you kind of go, oh, maybe Maddie's not that bad.
No, everyone's quite selfish in this movie.
Yeah. No matter what universe you're in.
Yeah. Everyone's very selfish.
Everyone's just frothing this Paul guy.
Everyone's frothing. James is right there, team.
I know. You're frothing this, like, this aristocratic, like, plaid-wearing douche. And you've got, like, rugged, British, handsome, oh, let's climb a rock kind of guy and play darts.
Yeah.
And have a beer.
Yeah.
I know which one I'd go for.
Yeah, I really like... The pub scene was one of my favourites.
I wrote that. I said there was a lot of chemistry there.
There's a lot of chemistry there. And I wrote... What did I write? Lindsay Lohan is a better actor opposite Ed Spillier's.
Oh, totally.
She's more relaxed.
Yeah.
It feels more natural.
Totally.
It's like the Lindsay that we know and love...
Yeah.
...came back in those scenes. In all the other scenes, it was like... She was second guessing all of her choices,
mm-hmm.
is how it kind of comes across.
Yeah.
But whenever it's a scene between Maddie and James, it's like she is taking a breath. It's like really not, it's actually really nice.
Yeah.
And but like maybe that's the point.
Yes, that could be.
You know, that could also be an active choice. I don't know, I didn't direct this film, surprisingly. Because that is that's where she's meant to be going. Like, she's meant to be the most comfortable with James because she doesn't belong with Paul.
No.
And so that feeling of, like, oh, it's just a little bit, like, over the top and awkward this whole time works. It does work. It's not a bad thing. I'm not like, oh, it's just terrible acting. I'm just saying that, like, the two versions of this love story, there is definitely a more, I don't know, realistic, connected relationship, and then a weird over the top, please, why is this the main storyline?
Yeah, totally. I guess that's the point. It's like the be careful of what you wish for.
Yes.
Message.
Yeah.
That's what we're learning.
They are in this pub because the weather is horrible.
Isn't there a tree?
A tree falls on the road. There's no other way out.
Yeah.
They have this great night at this pub. They dance, the music,
I mean, to be fair, those two shouldn't have danced.
No.
Because they were just linking arms and skipping, and everyone else was, like, really getting into it.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
Full Irish jig.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. Like,
yeah.
That is probably the best part of the movie for me so far. And then they go back up, like, the next day to the rehearsal dinner.
Well, it's the rehearsal wedding.
Wedding
first. That drove me insane. Because, so, Maddie's late, but they're like, well, we have to rehearse now.
Yeah, we're not waiting for her.
We're not waiting for her, we're going to rehearse now. So, standing at the altar is Paul and Emma.
And Emma's fine with it.
Everyone's fine with it.
Yeah.
And he's looking at her like...
They're in love. That's why I think there's an affair. Because there is no way from just, like, talking to someone and being like, take care of me while I have a bruised eye, that they would be comfortable being like, yes, please stand in for my future wife at my wedding.
Yeah. And I don't think, from memory, I don't think when Maddie sees this, she doesn't... Or maybe she does go...
She reacts a little bit of like, yeah.
Yeah.
So they get to the rehearsal part. I don't really remember much out of that.
Oh, like the rehearsal wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, he goes into like be affectionate with her and she...
Recoils,
but that's because she sees St. Bridget in a...
Yes.
In a stained glass window. And then she like collapses and the first thing she says when she wakes up is, James? What? And then that's pretty much it for the... And then you get to, like, the wedding rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
Where, like, no guests are invited to this rehearsal. Like, who's coming to this wedding? No one. Mother isn't, that's for
and
sure.
And they've, like, started to play the games that you would play at an engagement party. Like, or, like, a hen's night. Like, how well do you know the couple? Or, like, how well does the couple know each other?
Yeah.
And so then they're asking all these questions that Maddie should know the answer to, but she hasn't, like... The wish side of things of like going into this alternate universe, she has been given no information of her prior life.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, what's the proposal story? And she's like, it was really special.
Yeah.
And she says special over and over again because she has no idea how the proposal happened. And from the beginning of this little game, Paul has talked over the top of Maddie the entire time and like answered for her. Until it gets to the proposal story. And he sits there saying nothing until she's like, help me, please. And it turns out that Maddie proposed to Paul.
Yeah, that...
On his birthday.
Yeah, and I think that's also a problem. Is that... Not that a man shouldn't...
Women can propose
for sure. But I think this just adds to the whole thing of like, well, I don't think he really likes... Well, he probably does love Maddie, but... He probably knows it's not the right relationship for him because this is clearly how it shouldn't have happened or how Maddie would have wanted it to happen.
And also the fact that it's like Maddie proposed on his birthday. Like everything that she does is for like him to be in the spotlight. But there is never any moment where he, very obviously in the reality version of this, he adores Emma. You know, where he doesn't have that with Maddie in this alternate universe where they're madly in love.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. So then the mother is like, hey, photographer dude, you might as well stay the night.
Because
we want you to take photos from the minute the sun comes up.
Yeah.
To the end of the night. The wedding is the next day.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. So he goes to like pack up his stuff in the study to, I don't know, find a guest room. And Maddie goes in and is like, you're not leaving, are you? He's like, no, I'm just packing up my stuff. They end up having this massive fight. And again, I like appreciate it in the way that they call each other out on their stuff, but they don't do it in a very healthy way. Where he's like, you don't seem happy. Why are you doing this? And she's like, why are you constantly running away from your own life?
Yeah.
And that is, like, big, worthy questions.
Yeah.
But just not in the right context.
Yeah.
Are
we at the part where she leaves the party early and goes to her room and she starts writing her own novel and calls it, she writes Untitled Novel, Chapter 1.
Work in progress.
I love whenever there's a writer in a movie because they do this every time. They're like, Untitled Blog or like Blog Entry 1 or something like that.
Like, dude. I guess too, like, what isn't touched on much is that he acknowledges, like, Paul acknowledges that she's a writer.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Yeah.
But he never gives her the opportunity to write.
He's always like, no, you should just keep editing for me, or like, you really should edit this. I've written a bit, But you go.
I've written our wedding vows for both of us.
Oh my gosh.
But can you proofread and edit our wedding vows? And she's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't quite. Okay. So St. Bridget is working her magic all over the world.
We've got to talk about the mother. Yeah. I don't care. Like,
I just
she
don't
wasn't
care.
Needed.
And this is the thing, is that she truly wasn't needed.
No.
So Mum is at the airport. She has slept in because St. Bridget magic and has missed her flight. So now she's at the airport trying to get on another flight, which means that she's going to basically get there as soon as the wedding starts. But then St. Bridget moves a suitcase and
she trips.
Ends up in hospital. She ends up in hospital from this massive trip that she's had and then cannot attend the wedding at all. Making the mother character complete, like, there is no, other than some well-timed phone calls, and then, like, sure, like, the phone call of I'm in hospital comes in the middle of the fight in the wedding. It's like, I don't quite understand the purpose of
this character.
The character at all. Like, it doesn't further, like, the character doesn't further the plot. It doesn't create any tension. Having her there or not having her there doesn't stop the wedding. Like, there's no point where Maddie's like, I cannot get married if my mum's not here.
I think that the point, and it's just not done very well, is the fact that it wasn't meant to be.
Mm.
Like, this whole thing's not meant to be at all, including, like, your mother couldn't even get there on time.
And maybe that's the thing. It's like, St. Bridget was like, maybe if mum's not there, then Maddie will stop the wedding.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. She go like is going through
it.
So just before the wedding, Maddie's in her wedding gown. This episode of this podcast is going to be as long as the movie itself. In her wedding gown, first bestie comes in and is like, "How you going?
Yeah,
you're all right. You don't seem all right, but that's okay." Then Emma comes in and Maddie apologizes because she has seen Emma and Paul outside of her bedroom window,
have a
goodbye moment.
Yeah, like basically, like almost kiss in a way.
There's a stroking of the face.
Yeah.
There's crying at the end.
Yeah.
She apologizes, being like, "Hey, I feel like there's something between you and Paul, and I'm sorry that we're getting married." And then Emma tells Maddie how much she is in love with Paul. On her wedding day. And I'm just like, God.
Oh my gosh.
This, like.
Yeah.
I would feel awful.
I would.
If you were getting married and I came to you, like, hey.
On my wedding day.
On your wedding day. You're, like, beautiful dress, makeup done. But, like, you've spent hours and days and years planning this, whatever. And I'm like, sup, mate. Just so you know, I'm in love with your soon-to-be husband. I just don't think we would survive. The podcast would be over.
No, yeah. That's the first thing I tell you. Like, well, no more podcast. I would be. I wouldn't talk to you anymore. Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't talk to you equally as much as I wouldn't talk to my future husband.
Yeah.
Like, it'd just be all over. Because I probably, knowing that I'd seen something, because am I assuming I'd seen something as well? I'd be like, well, you're just having a bit.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's just, I get that it's because they are supposed to be living their own destinies.
Mm. Sure.
But it's a crappy friend thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
On both sides, both on Maddie's side and on Emma's side. Because Maddie made this wish knowing that her best friend was marrying the love of her life.
Yeah.
And on Emma's side, to be like, hey, my best friend is marrying the love of her life, but I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm actually in love with this person. And love trumps. Love does not trump all.
No. Yeah. So when she... So first of all, Paul looks like a douche again.
Yeah.
In his wedding outfit. It was terrible. Oh, mate. I reckon he hated these outfits, the actor. Surely you don't enjoy dressing like that.
I mean, he has gone from period piece to period piece. So maybe he's just having fun in some cool suits.
So Maddie walks down the aisle in a dress,
her normal everyday.
But she's not wearing a cardigan or denim jacket. But she does appear in one later. Immediately after this scene. The big question for me was, where did the jacket go?
Always asking the hard-hitting questions.
No, but I was like, because I noticed the dress. I was like, oh, you're wearing a dress. It's fine. And she basically tells him in front of everyone, sorry, I don't want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, but she addresses like the congregation.
Yeah.
She doesn't address him.
No.
I found that weird. I was like, do this privately. And then he realizes that it's because of James, and then they end up in like a Colin Firth, like Hugh Grant-esque
battle.
Bridget Jones.
It was very Bridget Jones. To be fair, Princess Diaries also does the like, I don't want to get married today.
Yes, true.
Moment in front of everyone.
But at least he like she says something to him
first
and then
answers. Yeah.
But he's also like great.
Yeah, true.
Neither. Samesies.
And I mean, so is Paul, but then Paul also is like, Emma is like whatever. Like,
yeah.
How dare you have these feelings for another man? And she's like, you have feelings for Emma. And he's like, Emma's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And he's like, how dare you? Irrelevant?
Yeah. And so they have like a little cat fight. And
yeah.
The mum calls, probably didn't need the phone call. You're in hospital. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, but it just doesn't add anything.
No.
Anyway, James runs out. She somehow gets a jacket or cardigan on.
It runs out after him.
Is that what? Yeah.
It's thrown on her.
Yeah, she's wearing a cardigan. Yeah, my question was she wearing one the entire time? She wasn't. So she somehow realizes she needs to quickly put on a cardigan and then goes and talks. I'm sorry, I'm really fixated on the cardigan because it was just so inconsistent. And then they just kind of have like a conversation. And
It does, like they're in the middle of a, like he leaves the fight. It doesn't make a lot of sense as to why he leaves.
Yeah.
He's like, if I've ever made you doubt yourself, I'm really sorry. And that's like a really lovely thing to say. And he's like teary. Oh my God, James is perfection. He's like teary and like very apologetic. There isn't a great transition into this like self-pity moment though. It's like fight, 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 fight. I'm walking out. We can't be together. Not like this. But he's just broken up. Like, he knows very well that he's broken up the wedding. So I'm like...
You've already done it.
Like, this moment either needed to happen before now,
yeah.
Or you just needed to not be at the wedding. Like...
But also, I don't think it needed to be like this because it's not like they did anything.
Mm-hmm.
All she did was kind of say, I don't want to marry Paul. He kept saying, you are so unhappy.
Yeah.
She literally went, I don't want to be with Paul anymore.
And he was like...
He's like, oh my gosh.
We can't be together
because you did what you should have done.
Then we get a kiss 15 minutes before the end of the movie. So not quite mid-movie, but not the last thing
you
see.
No.
And he's like, goodbye forever, Maddie, and leaves.
Yeah.
And that is when she's like, I take back my wish.
I wrote, Lindsay running looked fake when she was running to the tree. I have no idea. It kind of like looked like...
Sometimes it's... Okay, so running in movies is actually really difficult.
I've seen the clip of the Twilight cast doing it.
Yeah. Because you can't run at full pace. The
yeah.
camera does it. It doesn't work out. So the first time I ever had to run in a movie was the most awkward thing I've ever had to. Because you're running at like half, you're jogging essentially.
Yeah.
You have to make jogging look like you're running. And it's
yeah,
like,
that's so
your
weird.
Brain is like,
yeah.
What? Sure.
Sure.
Cool. So I'm sure if we look back, if I find the scene where I have to run a movie, you're going to have the same notes.
Okay. All right.
Because it is fake running,
essentially.
Yeah. It is fake running. Where am I? Oh, and then say, Bridget is like, it's not really how that works. You can't really take wishes back. And then she's like, I wish I had never made the wish. And she's like, well, that's a different story. Like I wish... She says, I guess it's the moment of like, I've learnt my lesson.
Yeah.
We have to live our own destiny. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I know what I want now. That kind of stuff. Wakes up the next morning and is like, oh my God, I'm now marrying Paul. This is the best thing ever. Everyone's very confused because nobody has been on this journey with her.
Yeah.
And then she like seeks, she says no to Paul writing the book. She wants to write her own book.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's nice.
And also he's bringing that up. He talks on the phone to his PR person.
Yeah, at the wedding.
At his wedding.
Yeah.
Douche.
Yeah.
And she says, no thank you to writing the next book.
Which is great. Yep. And then she goes and seeks out James.
Yeah.
Who's just sitting in the courtyard. And they have a really nice little chat.
Yep. I really liked the ending.
I really
liked it.
It
was cute. It wasn't like, I love you. It was like, oh, like...
Should we get to know each other?
Should we hang out?
Yeah.
I might stay in Ireland for a bit.
Me too.
Cool.
Let's
nice.
Let's get, like, not even let's get, there was no date
there. There was no date
together.
It was
just a chat.
It was the most realistic kind of
very sweet
situation that could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I even wrote a nice, are these your notes? I don't even remember writing that. I wrote a nice message to the movie. Just let destiny happen.
Yeah.
I don't remember writing that.
Were you drunk when you watched this movie?
No, I wasn't. I don't drink midweek.
Good job.
Thank you.
I don't
drink. And that's the end.
Yeah.
We got there.
We got there. Look, again, this episode is half an hour shorter than the movie itself so far. But we haven't stopped talking yet, so lucky you.
Three things.
I have three things, and it wasn't difficult to find three things.
No, neither.
James is the top of my list. And James's
yep.
chemistry with Lindsay,
yep.
like, particularly, is the top of my list.
Yep.
And then the Irish sense of humour comes through a lot in this movie, which is why we love the Irish, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they didn't just set a movie... We've seen some, like, movies set in, like, the Scottish Highlands and all
yes.
that, where they've just made them very dry.
Yeah.
But
I appreciated
the kind of, yeah, leprechaun-y
yeah.
St. Patrick's Day vibes.
Yes.
Of
they're leaning into it, for sure.
And just Ireland.
Yeah. I think mine were kind of similar. So, yeah, Lindsay's acting was actually good. It was significantly better than... What was her last movie?
Falling
for Christmas. Like, that was... Like, it felt rough.
Yeah.
But this was pretty decent.
Yeah.
She did a better job. And maybe it was just... I don't know how they did these movies, because she's doing three. She's contracted to do three. So I wonder if she did them...
Oh,
like,
that.
Oh, but you wouldn't, because they're completely different movies.
Yeah.
So maybe she... I don't know, maybe she, by the time she got to this one, she felt a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And yeah, she had great chemistry with the James character.
Yeah.
And then loved a British man, loved a British accent. That will always get a win for me. And then I loved the scene. It was honestly stunning.
I feel like
they did capture Ireland on, like,
yeah.
the best days.
Yeah.
Because the weather's not always
nice
like that.
Very
I'm sure it was filmed in summer and they were wearing jumpers and cardigans
yeah.
and it was slightly overcast.
It was
but it was beautiful. Like the house, like when they're on the cliffs,
yeah.
oh, stunning.
It definitely made me miss the
yeah.
like, UK.
Yeah.
I had a bit of an existential crisis when rating this movie.
I was fine. You know what, even after talking about this, I still feel fine with my rating.
Great. I sat there because we rated Falling for Christmas at like an 8.5.
That is insane.
I was
That's
like,
not true.
We need to figure out this system.
Yeah.
So I have written a paragraph to talk. I'm just going to bring my laptop up for those watching at home. A paragraph of like, this is why. I have rated it a 7 out of 10. And I feel like if it's going to be rated higher, then we need to either figure out our rating system
yes.
and rate Falling for Christmas lower.
Yeah, okay.
Or we need to give our previous movies, A Vineyard Christmas and A Vineyard Romance, higher ratings. Because 8.5 is insane.
Yeah, no, 8. No, I agree with our other ratings.
Great.
Because when you look at the production
mm-hmm.
value, it's significantly different.
And
even, yeah,
that's
acting.
What I'm saying. Is that like... There was still a little bit of over-the-top acting, still a little bit of disconnected acting, and still plot holes in this movie, but the budget is significantly higher, and that overall makes for a better
yeah.
movie.
I think Falling for Christmas at 8.5 is insane. I also rated this movie 7 out of 10.
Great.
So, Falling for Christmas needs to be, like, I don't know, a 6,
yeah.
to be honest. I think it's not as enjoyable as this
on?
Movie. Were we drunk? Like
maybe Maybe we were drunk
on
Christmas.
We were on the drunk on the third of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I feel comfortable with 7 out of 10 for this movie. I don't feel comfortable with 8.5.
No.
Falling for Christmas.
We're going to go watch all the movies we watched last year and re-rate every single one.
I'm not doing that. I don't ever do that.
Anything over an 8 will get a 7 and we'll be moving on. I enjoyed watching it.
Me too.
I obviously watched it for a second time. I would probably watch it again. I would recommend it to people.
I would like to watch it again without thinking about writing notes.
I really enjoyed it when I didn't have to think about, not even critiquing it, but like, the story and the plot holes will always be a niggly weird thing, and a lack of detail will always be a niggly weird thing that we will bring up all the time because, again, we know what we are.
Yeah.
But when given the chance to just watch a movie without really thinking about it and, like, happily, like, scrolling on the phone a little bit or, like, having a chat with housemates during the movie, it's quite enjoyable to watch. I think, too, watching it on St. Patrick's Day was like, this is my little bit of Irish culture
today. Yeah.
So, yes, I think if you go and watch it, you will not probably agree with our 7 out of 10. You will enjoy it because I enjoyed watching it as just a active, like a passive participant in it.
I think you'll just enjoy it. Like, it doesn't have to be on St. Patrick's Day. Just enjoy it for, like, the scenery and, like, the
kind
of...
It's stunning.
Yeah, the vibes that the overall movie brings.
Yeah. The end.
The end. Thanks for listening.
And if Ireland would like to sponsor us.
Oh my gosh.
Yay. We will gladly become ambassadors to Ireland. I mean, that's it. We've gone on Prime. We've looked at every single possible type of Hallmark movie that's available on Prime.
Yes.
And we have found as many Hallmark movies as we possibly can.
They've removed a few.
They've removed quite a lot.
Yeah.
And the ones that are left, some of them we have already watched and talked about on this podcast.
Yeah.
So next fortnight, we will be talking about Love on Harbor Island.
Yay.
Which is a real one entertainment movie, but is on the Hallmark channel. So
we're classing that as a Hallmark movie, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hallmark has it listed on their website.
Well,
so
when I Googled it, Hallmark was the first thing that popped up.
So, if you would like to watch before you listen, that's on Prime here in Australia, probably on many other platforms outside of Australia. Lucky ducks.
Yes.
But in the meantime, if you would like to tell us that our rating system sucks, you can do that via our socials at HallmarkedPod on both Instagram and TikTok, or you can email us at HallmarkedPod@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to watch, if there's anything in particular. We had a few comments from our first episode back being like, we also thought you were talking about A Vineyard Christmas during the A Vineyard Romance episode.
Oh, really?
So we were not the only ones. Thank you for validating us.
That was never do two Vineyard movies in a row. It's so confusing.
It's so confusing. But we're going to an island.
We're going to an island. Yay.
From
Ireland
to
an
island. Oh no, what have we done?
Oh, I wonder if I'm gonna get confused.
Oh,
probably not. They're very different.
One has Irish accents,
yes.
And one doesn't.
That's true.
But before this digresses any further,
let's wrap this up.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.